Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun Ches. Dibur Hamasu ben Azai Omer Bechovtes Ba'ador Ba'alef B'sivan. Before we begin our Gemara, we will take a look at one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is the nosei, the topic heading, and structural notes that accompany each new sugya. In this case, under our topic heading, you find in the outside margin the nosei, we have written, Mahu hahevdeil bein Rabbi Akiva, she'omar prois ha-pesach. What is the difference between Shitas Rabbi Akiva that said that the goren, date, for the Meiser Behema is Pros HaPesach? This is one of the three dates during a year that one is expected, Midrabonon, to Mafrish Meiser Behema. And Rabbi Kiva says it's Pros HaPesach, Shehu Tes Vav Yoim Lifnei HaPesach. This is 15 days before Pesach. Leben Azai, Shoma Chof Tes Ador. Ben Azai says it's the 29th of Ador, Shehu Gam Tes Vav Yom Lifnei Pesach. It's also 15 days before Pesach. Yet Rabbi Kiva phrases it as Prois HaPesach, which we explained in our previous year. Pros means half, and the Gemara had asked half of what? The Gemara had answered half of the time that is designed or set aside for or dedicated to the study of Hilchus Pesach, the study of Hilchus Pesach lasting 30 days, half of that is 15, and that's Prois HaPesach. And Ben Azai, who says Choftes Ador, which on the calendar comes out to also 15 days before Pesach. What is the difference between them? In addition, we have under our Mivneh, which is a structural note, the trapezoid design, or as we fondly refer to it as the volcano shape. This is presented here as Havlotas Tarichei HaGoren Shel Ben Azai. Here we're attempting to help stand out the dates of the Goren, the Hafrosha time periods, according to Ben Azai. So as we saw in the Gemara, we saw already a trapezoid form around Choftes Ador. The Gemara now says, "Bemai komifligi Rabbi Akiva ben Azai." We introduced this already. The Gemara is asking, "What is the point of difference, or what are they arguing about?" Namely, Rabbi Akiva, who said Prois HaPesach, which is 15 days, and Ben Azai, who says Choftes Ba'Ador. The Gemara answers, "Rabbi Akiva Sovar Ador Hasomuch leNisan, the month of Ador that comes out right next to Nisan, Zimnin Mole veZimnin Choser. Sometimes it is a 30-day." month, and sometimes it's a 29-day month. Zimnin demikla b'yoyim lamed. It could be that the 15-day period would come out on the 30th of Ador. V'zimnin demikla b'choftes. Sometimes the 30-day period would begin after the 29th of Ador. So the we should say on the 29th of Ador. Since it's not standard, it's not fixed, lo kaviyah leizman, it doesn't have a fixed time. So in order to communicate the idea of 15 days before Pesach, Rabbi Kiva opts to use the expression Prois HaPesach, whether it happens to start on the 29th or the 30th of Ador. Uben Azai, who Ben Azai also holds 15 days before Pesach, is the time for the Meiser Behema. Ben Azai Sovar, Ador HaSomuch LeNisan, LeOilom Choser. The Ador that comes out right before Nisan is always a 29-day month. Hilchoch Kaviyo Leizman B'chov Tas Ba'ador. Therefore, the Pros HaPesach idea is fixed as beginning on the 29th of Adar. Just parenthetically, there was a reference here to the term Adar HaSomuch LeNisan, the Adar that's next to Nisan, and not just a reference to the month of Adar. The reason for that is that every several years, an extra Adar is added. So the Gemara couldn't refer to simply the month of Adar, because sometimes there's an Adar Aleph that's added to the Adar Beis, and therefore the Adar, the month of Adar that we are referring to, is the Adar that comes out right next to Nisan. If there's only one, so it's one. And if there happen to be two Adars, it would be Adar Beis. Continuing in the Gemara, Be'echod B'Sivan, that's another one of the Goren times that Ben Azai refers to. And it should be noted that his time of Be'echod B'Sivan is very different than Rabbi Akiva's, who said Proso Atzeres, which would mean 15 days before Shavuos. Be'echod B'Sivan is a mere 6 days before Shavuos. It's the first of Sivan. The Gemara wants to know, why does he say the first of Sivan and not 15 days before Shavuos? So the Gemara answers or explains Ben Azai, Aidi delo nefishi, since there are not a lot of animals. In other words, this second Goren is actually very close in time, relatively speaking, to the previous Goren, which was just 15 days before Pesach. Between Pesach and Shavuos altogether, there's 50 days separating Pesach and Shavuos. So there isn't much time for animal births to take place since the last Goren, since the pre-Pesach Goren and the pre-Shavuos Goren. So we try to make the pre-Shavuos Goren as late as possible so as to ensure or to enable there to be more births and hence more animals available for the Shavuos holiday. Therefore, e amris liktam le'aser, if you would say that the Maaser Behema should take place earlier, namely 15 days before Shavuos, so then ad demoti regel, by the time Shavuos comes around, people will have already slaughtered and eaten those animals that could have been available for Shavuos. Shalmi lehu, they will be finished off. We continue in the Gemara. Ben Azai Omer, B'chof Tes Be'av, the 29th of Av. Ben Azai L'tamei. And Azai here, when he says the 29th of Av is the Goren date, this is Ben Azai consistent with what he's already said, the Omar Ho'elulin Mis'asrin B'fnei Atzmon, that the births of the month of Elul are to be tithed by themselves. In other words, Elul-born animals are not tithed with Av-born animals, nor are they tithed with Tishrei-born animals. Therefore, the cutoff date, the end of the Goren period, or the Goren period for in this point of the year, is at the 29th day of Av. And hence, it's understood that animals born after that in Elul are not to be tithed together with those born in Av. The Gemara asks, V'lesrinu b'yoim shloshim, why not have the Goren date established on the 30th of Av? Why do you say the 29th? Answer, Zimnin d'mechasrin le'la'av. Sometimes the month of Av is only 29 days. And day 30 would, in effect, automatically become the first of Elul. And the first of Elul, as far as Ben Azai is concerned, is possibly Rosh Hashanah L'Maaser Behema. It might be the beginning of the new year as far as Maaser Behema is concerned. Uba'inan L'mevad Hekera B'chodosh V'yoshan. And it's necessary to create a point of recognition between the new, meaning Elul, versus Yoshan, that which is before Elul, namely Av. So we don't want to have any separation of births that took place prior to Elul. Let's say that took place in Av or during those summer months. We don't want to have any separation of Maaser Beimo on any day that could even potentially be Elul. In this case, the 30th Av. And the reason for this is, once again, to establish a point of recognition between the previous year and the new year. And the fear being that if we would allow a hafrosha of those summer births in the month of Elul, people would think that the month of Elul is part of the summer period, and they would come to do hafroshas of actual Elul births together with Av, or summer births, the pre-Elul month births. And that would be a real problem of Chodosh and Yoshan, which one is not allowed to mafrish previous year with the new year births. So as to create a point of recognition, we say the cutoff point is the 29th of Av, which is clearly an Av day, part of the month of Av, and can never be Elul. Continuing in the Gemara, we now approach new Tanoim under our topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei, Hezber L'Tarichei HaGoren Shel Reb Elozer Reb Shimon. We're now going to explain the dates given by these Tanoim, Reb Elozer and Reb Shimon, for the Goren. Reb Elozer Reb Shimon Omrim Be'echod B'Nisan, Be'echod B'Sivan, Be'chov Tes Be'elul. In this piece of Gemara, the marking that we're using to highlight the dates is a simple underline. And the reason for that is that the dates are very close, they're presented very close to one another in this piece of Gemara. Be'echod B'Nisan, the choice of the first of Nisan as a Goren date, is Kerub Shimon Gamliel, Diomar Shnei Shabosis. This is based on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's halacha, that the halachas of Pesach, one starts discussing 2 weeks before Pesach. So Echad B'Nisan is a date that is 2 weeks before the holiday of Pesach. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that helps you to find earlier, if you align this arrow with the previous arrow, where Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's name appeared in a Tanaic source above. Be'echad B'Sivan, Ke De'amoran, the choice of the first of Sivan is in accordance with what we said earlier, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, enable you to align this Kidamoran with the point above the Lo Nefishi. As we mentioned earlier, that if you would make it any earlier, so people will, once doing Hafrosha, will then start shechting and eating the animals, not leaving much of an animal supply for Shavuos, which is at the beginning of the first week of Sivan. Bechoftes be'elul, Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Shimon, l'tamayu, they are consistent with their approach to dinim of Maaser Beimo. Why, again, why is the 29th of Elul chosen as a Goren date? This is in consistency with Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon's reasoning, the Amri be'echol b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'Maaser Beimo. The first of Tishrei, namely right after this date of Chof Tes Elul, right after that is already the new year of Maaser Beimo. So Chof Tes Elul represents a cutoff point between the end of the Maaser Beimo, the previous Maaser Beimo year, and the new Maaser Beimo year. And as we've said in the past, one is not allowed to do hafroshes of the previous year's births with the current year's births. The Lama Omru B'chov Tes Be'el V'lo Omru Be'echa B'Tishrei. Why did they choose this date, the 29th of Elul, and not say that the first of Tishrei is the Maaser Beimo Goren date? Answer, Mipnei Shehu Yom Tov. The Mishnah had said that it's because the Echa B'Tishrei is Yom Tov, and one cannot do Hafroshes Behemos Maaser on Yom Tov. Therefore, we push it to a day before Chof Tes Elul. The Gemara asks, why do you give that as the reason namely because the first of Tishrei is Yom Tov. Yom Tov, of course, it means Rosh Hashanah. Why is that the reason given? Like we said before, why not say that the reason we don't want to have Aleph Tishrei as a Goren date during which I would do the Hafroshes Meister Behemoth, and the reason for that would be because I want to make a point of recognition between the previous year and the new year. And as we said earlier, concerning the case of Chof Tes Av, using the same svar over here, if we would allow the summer births to do the act of Hafrosha on the first of Tishrei, people would think that the first of Tishrei is part of that previous time period. And it's simply not true. It's Aleph Tishrei is part of the new time period. But if people would think that it's part of the previous time period, people would then think that Tishrei births could be tithed together with pre-Tishrei births, with the Elul births and the Av births. And that would be a catastrophe. So we don't want to have any tithing done on Aleph Tishrei of the previous period's births for the purpose of Hekera, for the purpose of making this point of recognition. Recognition between the Yashan and the Chodesh, the previous year and the new year. So the Gemara answers, you know, you got a good point there. Aleph Tishrei should be rejected on those grounds. You know, so the Gemara says, Chado vi'oid ka'omar, one and another, two reasons. Chado d'buhino bevet Hekera b'chodesh v'yashan. The reason we don't use Aleph Tishrei as a Goren date is because of this necessity of making the point of recognition between the previous year and the new year. The Oyd Mitnei Shehu Yom Tov, the Efshel Aser B'Yom Tov. And furthermore, the Aleph Tishrei is a holiday. It's called Rosh Hashanah, and it's impossible, it's forbidden to do a tithing on a holiday. And why is that? Mishum Sakrasa, because of the red paint. The animal designated as the tenth, as the animals are emerging from the narrow passageway and counted, 1, 2, 3, etc. When you reach number 10, it is painted, red paint is applied to it, and that would be forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Rabbi Meir Omer Be'echod Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah Lamaiser Behema, Ben Azai Omer V'chulei. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, and before we go on in the Gemara, we can glance just at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. The Gemara will deal with Shitas ben Azai, Ho'elulin Mis'asrin b'fnei Atzmon. Births during the month of Elul are tithed by themselves. They're not combined with, if a person has, let's say, only five births during Elul, they're not combined with pre-Elul births, nor are they held over to be combined with Tishrei births. So the Brisa says, Omar ben Azai, Hoyul v'halolu omrin kach, v'halolu omrin kach, since some say that the beginning of the Meiser Behemo year is Elul, and some say the beginning of the Meiser Behemo year is Tishrei. So those who say it's Tishrei, so Elul would be part of the previous year. Those who say the beginning of the Meiser Behemo year is Elul, so then Elul is part of the new year. As a result of that, so ha'elulin misasrin latzmon. The word elulin is the plural of the word elul. All the births during any elul births are tithed by themselves. The Gemara asks, v'lechsi ta'amei deman mistaber. Why is it that you treat elul as a separate entity because you are in doubt as to what the date of the Meiser, the date at which the Meiser Behemoth year begins? Why not simply delve into the depths, into the reasoning, and come to a definitive conclusion? We have a long question marking, by the way, here. On the intermediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines constitute the question. So our question is, why doesn't Ben Azai delve into the depths of the matter and come to a solid conclusion? You might say that, well, Ben Azai was simply incapable of reaching the depths of reasoning. You're not going to really be able to say that, though, about Ben Azai. V'hav Tanya, we have a Tanaic source describing Ben Azai as saying, Ben Azai, Omer, Kol Chachmei Yisrael Doimin Olai Keklipas Hashum. All the rest of the sages, the wise men of Israel, are, to me, like the peel of a garlic, which is very thin, meaning they aren't, relative to me, they aren't of great, they aren't, let's say, of a parallel intellectual capacity. Chutz min ha-kereach hazeh, except for this kereach. Literally, following Rashi's pshat, kereach is a reference to a bald individual. It has been described that Rabbi Akiva was a bald person. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is a Tana that appears in the Shas, who is reported to be the son of Rabbi Akiva, based on a Gemara elsewhere, where Rabbi Yeshua turns to Rabbi Akiva as his father. So, Kereach is a reference to the bald one, and hence Ben Azai is saying that the rest of the Chachmei Yisrael are, as far as I am concerned, like garlic peels, with the exception of Rabbi Akiva, who was in fact a towering intellect, who, as far as Ben Azai sees things, was a colleague of his. So the point here is that Ben Azai isn't likely to be one who would be intimidated or feel a sense of weakness regarding delving into depths of reasoning. For the depths of reasons for different matters. So why does Ben Azai take this hedging approach with regard to Elul? The Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipi Hashimua Amruha. The two schools of Tanaic thought regarding Elul say their opinions based on a tradition. Mipi Chagai Zechariu Malachi. These are the names of the three prophets that were at the end of the prophetic period, the prophet period, at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Tanoim that argue about the status of Elul say their points based on an oral tradition received from these prophets, and as such, it's something that is above logic or above reasoning, as Rashi says. That something that one receives from the prophets would be something similar to prophecy, and hence beyond the realm of applied logic. And hence Ben Azai, having heard these two schools of thought, didn't commit himself to either side. Tanya, Ketzad Omar Ben Azai Ul Misrasin Ufle Atzmon. What do you mean by, or what is an illustration of this particular opinion? So the source gives us an application of Ben Azai's approach. Noldu lo chamisha bav v'chamisha be'elul ein mitzdarfin. If there are five births in the month of Av and five in the month of Elul, they won't join together to form a unit of 10. And why is that? Because Elul may very well be the beginning of a new year, Av being the previous year. So you don't combine one year with the next. One year's births with the next year's births. Hey, be'elul, ve'hei, be'tishrei. Five births during Elul and five births during Tishrei, if that's all the man has. So, ein mitzdarfin, that too would not join up. And the reason there is that Elul may be described as part of the old year, the previous year, and Tishrei beginning the new year. And likewise, and as a result of that, also no joining up. Hey, v'tishrei, v'hei, v'av, five births in the month of Tishrei, and five births in the subsequent month of Av, mitzdarfin, they would join up. The Gemara asks, well, pshita, that's obvious. That's obvious that they would be mitzdarf. They're part of the same year. There's no question about it that Tishrei and the following Av, there's no opinion that would say a new year for Maaser Behemah starts between those months. So it's simple, it's obvious that they are Mitzvah. What do I need the Tanaic source to tell me something that's obvious? The Gemara answers, Mahu Detema. Without this, one might have said, Ki hechi demifsiki shonim, mifsiki gronos. Just like years constitute a break, and no joining up of partial amounts between previous year and current year. I would have thought grunos also. Grunos is a reference to those three time periods reported in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Zayin, and those three time periods that we were discussing at in the earlier part of today's shiur, with regard to the respective Tanaic opinions as to when they are. But just like shanim, years constitute a break, I would have thought that those grunos dates constitute a break, and a birth before a goren date and births after a goren date would not join up. Komash Malon, that's not so. Kedisnan, as we see in the following Tanaic source. Chamisha lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'chamisha lachar Rosh Hashanah eimut starfin, five births before the Rosh Hashanah date. Whatever the Rosh Hashanah date may be, of course, we're used to seeing the term Rosh Hashanah associated with Aleph Tishrei. However, we have already seen in the topic of Maaser Beima, Rosh Hashanah might be Aleph Elul. Whatever the case is, five before the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Beima and five after the Rosh Hashanah of Maaser Beima do not join up. Chamisha lefnei hagoren v'chamisha la'achar hagoren harei elu mitzdarfin. Five births before the Goren date, we've seen before, and five births after a Goren date, they would join up, provided, of course, they're part of the same year. Harei Eilu Mitzarfim, we've dashed underline Harei Mitzarfim, because this is the reason we are bringing this Brisa in. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the No Say. You can see we've written Dinoi Shel Rava. The Gemara will feature Rava's Din. Rava appears in our Gemara that encircled to highlight his name. The Divrei Ben Azai, according to Ben Azai, Rava says, Heba Av, Heba Elul, Heba Tishrei. There are 15 animals referred to here. During three consecutive months. Me'aser, this owner will have to do Hamaiser Behema Mimonavshach. Either way you look at things. In other words, he has 10 births, 10 new animal births during 1 year. Either way you look at it. Namely, if Elul is the old year, so Av and Elul will join up. So he's got 5 and 5, 10 births. If Elul represents the new year, so Elul and Tishrei will join up. We shouldn't go too much further in the Gemara, but we are assuming that a person in studying this Gemara is familiar with the Jewish calendar. And from our experience, it's maybe a poor assumption. There are many people that are not familiar with the months. So just to list off the months in order, starting from the month of Tishrei, one would say Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Ador, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. If that's clear, then these Gemaras that we've been doing till now are fairly understandable. So for your convenience, we have included on the inside margin at the upper part of the page just a list of these months starting from Tishrei. So you can see how the order appears. Just being aware that the month of Elul, which we have listed as the last month in this list, it could be that Elul is itself the beginning of the year. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, and we also have a long point marking. In this case, we're calling the long point by the name Rava himself, saying that Rava's comment goes from here, and it continues to the down the first few lines of Amud Beis. So, the Gemara, Omar Rava, Ledivrei Ben Azai, according to Ben Azai, who was in doubt as to how to classify Elul, Noldu lo chamisha be'av, v'chamisha be'elul, v'chamisha be'tishrei. Five animals were born in the month of Av, five in the month of Elul, and five in the month of Tishrei. Koinson ledir l'saser. He brings them all into the barn for the purpose of Maiser Behemo. V'notel echod min ha'elulin. And as far as the animal chosen to be number 10 and serve as the Maiser Beima, he will take from the Elul births. Vashar Pturin Mimonavshach. The rest of them, the five of Av and the five of Tishrei, will be exempt from the need for Maiser Behema through this. Why? E Be'echod Be'elul Rosh Hashanah, if the first of Elul represents the new year, so the Elul V'Tishrei Mitzdarfin Uda Av Pturin. The Elul and Tishrei births, 5 and 5, equaling 10, are during the same Maiser Behema year, and the Av are exempt because the Av, you only had 5 births in the month of Av, and there's nothing for them to join up with. The E, Be'echod B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, if the first of Tishrei is the new year for Behemas, Maiser Behema, the Av, the Elul Mitzdarfin, the births of Av and Elul, Elul being part of the previous year according to this, they will join up for a total of 10, and the Tishrei Pturin, and the Tishrei births will be exempt. My Amris, Litzarfo Legoren Acher, what might you say regarding the Tishrei births? Why not leave them over and have them wait till there be additional births, let's say in Cheshvan, Kislev, and have them wait over till the next Goren date, which would be the before Pesach period? This we do not say. Asiri vadai oma rachmona velo sofek. When the Torah says, be mafresh maiser behema, the Torah wants me to do a hafroshes maiser behema from a point of certainty, not using animals that are a point of doubt. There's a Rashi you find in the Rashi Ksav Yad, which is on the lower half of the page. We have a little star at the first line of that commentary. My Amris, that's the Rufe Hanoch de Tishrei Legoren Echod. This is explaining what the Gemara was saying here. The Gemara had ruled, or Rava had ruled, that the five of Tishrei are exempt, and he didn't suggest leave them over to the next Goren. The Shema Tishrei Rosh Hashanah, the Nitztarfu Hanoch de Av Elul. Why would you think maybe to leave them over to the next Goren? Because Tishrei might be the beginning of the year, the Maiser Behema year, and the Elul and Av births joined up. V'hani de Tishrei Yamtin Ad Shivoldu Tuloim B'Shona Zuv Nitztarfu Imoyim, and the births of Tishrei will say leave over and join up with new additional births of this new year. Ha lo aminon, this we do not say. Dasiri vadai omrachmona, the Torah, when it says that the Asiri is Kodesh Lashem, the Asiri is the sanctified one, we're talking about an Asiri that is certain. Lo Asiri Safek, Vim Yachnisam Ladir Oid, the Gam Tloim Wasivim Lovo, if you were to take these Tishrei births and put them in the barn and have them emerge through the narrow passageway together with additional later births, Shemo Yetzei Echod Me'elu Ba'asiri, one of the Tishrei births may emerge as the 10th, V'havilei Asiri Safek. And if you take a Tishrei animal as your Maiser Behema, it's really a Safek. The Shemo Ein Zeh Roi L'Maiser Shifar Niftar, maybe it's not fit as Maiser because it was already exempted. Dilmo havi elu Rosh Hashanah v'tzarfu hani shel Tishrei imoison shel elu v'nifteru. And being that it could be that Elul was the beginning of the new year, and when we did the tithing before and took one of the Elul animals as the Maiser Behema, it might have exempted this one. Umishel Av Hoyub Turin She'ein Lahem Tziruf, and in that scenario the Av births were part of the previous year and they were totally exempt. So we don't want you including the, we don't want you taking the Tishrei births after I tithe from the Elul births. I don't want you to leave them over to a new Goren, as we just explained in the Rashi. The Gemara now continues with a question. It asks, Pshita, it's obvious that you take from the Elul births. The explanation of this question we find in Rashi in the upper part of the page. Pshita, Rashi says, Deminho Elul Noitel. It's obvious you'll take from the Elul for your Meiser Behema. Deime Ano, Daav, Lo Levi Asiri. If you were to think to take from the Av, that can't be your Meiser Behema. The Shema El Rosh Hashanah, Veleko, Mishon Shavar Elo. Hey, could be that Elul is the Rosh Hashanah and the Av births, they would only have, you only have five of that previous year births. Veleko Bu Din Meiser. And if you were to think to take from the Tishrei births to exempt the Av and Elul ones, no. Dilma Tishrei Rosh Hashanah Veleko Nami Din Meiser Bano. Hey. Continuing in the Gemara is asking now. It's what Rava said is obvious that if you have five Av, five Elul, and five Tishrei, you will take from the Elul births to constitute your Meiser Behema. So Mahu de Tema, one might have thought, without Rava saying this, Ligzar Dilma Osi Lemishkal Mehanoch, that we should tell him, don't take from the Elul births, because you might come to take from the Av and Tishrei births. Komash Malon, so Rava's telling we don't make this Gezera. Let's take a look at the Rashi, who explains a little bit more, but this time we're looking at Rashi in the Ksav Yad, right under the Gemara text. Dilma osi lemishkal mehanoch, me'osin shel av, o me'osin shel tishrei, dehavya churba, that if you would end up taking from the av or the tishrei animals, that will be a catastrophe, or it could lead to a big problem. Why? Demayel hulin lazora, you're bringing in an animal that is actually, or possibly, exempt altogether, and it's called chulin, it's called the mundane, and there's a prohibition of bringing common animals into the azora, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The e shokil mehanoch de av, if he actually would take from the av, shemo elo rosh hashanah, might be that elul is the new year, v'nimsa shezeh shenotel ein lo tziru v'lo maiserhu. And that, the av one, was part of only a group of five animal births, and hence exempt altogether. V'chein me'osin shel tishrei, likewise with regard to the tishrei. Komash malon delo gazrinon. So Rava tells us, we tell the owner of these animals, you go ahead, and of these 15 animal births, you bring them into the barn, and you will take from the Elul, births, and that way you are definitely Mekayim Mitzvah Meiser Behema, and that animal certainly is fit to be brought as a korban. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Nosei, the topic heading. Ketzad Me'asrin Befal. How procedurally do we do Meiser Behema? The Mishnah. Ketzad Me'asrin. How do we do the tithing? Konsin Ladir, we bring the new births into a barn. The Oisalan Pesach Kotlin, a small passageway is constructed. Kidei Shiloyu Shnayim Yuchon Lotzeis Ka'achas, so that two animals would not be able to emerge from the passageway together. Umoyne Beshevet, and using a rod, one would count. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid, He, Vov, Zayin, Ches, Tes. The numbers, the letters have number equivalents of 1 through 9. Vayotze Asiri, the one to emerge as 10. Soker Besikra, he paints it red. The Omer HaReize Meiser, and he says this is the Meiser. Lo sokru b'sikru v'lamonon b'shevet, if he, let us say, didn't paint the tenth animal, or he didn't use a rod for counting, oy shemonon revutzin oy oindin, or he counted them while they were lying, they were crouching or standing. In other words, without formally walking through a passageway, just went to a group of animals and counted them as they were in the barn. Hare elu mu'usorin, they are tithe. That does, it works. Even though you didn't follow the formal procedure that the Mishnah prescribed, he still will achieve or arrive at a Meiser Behema. Hayu lo mea v'natal asora, if he had 100 animals and just took a group of 10 without any counting, asora v'natal echad, or he had a group of 10 animals and just pulled one of them out of the group, ein ze meiser. We have a little one indicating that there's another opinion on this matter. The first, the Tanakhama says, that is not meiser. It doesn't work. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer meiser. He says it does. Kofatz echod min hamenuyin letoichon. Menuyin are as a reference to the animals that were already counted. As we saw above, animals had emerged through a narrow passageway, and before he reached number 10, one of those animals that had already exited the passageway jumps back into the barn with all the rest of the as yet uncounted or untithed animals. The Mishnah says that will cause an exemption of the entire barn full of animals. In other words, even if it's you have one animal that was already counted and they have hundreds of animals in the barn, they are all exempt. Another case of kofatz is min hamausorin lesochan. If one of the animals designated as meiser behema, this is in distinction to the animal simply counted in anticipation of the tenth, this is a reference to an actual tenth animal. One of the meiser behemas jumped back into the rest of the as yet untithed animals. Kulam yiru achistavu. The whole barn full of animals are set out to graze until they develop a blemish. The yochlu b'mumon lebailim. And once an animal develops a blemish, the owner can now eat it. Now, what's the difference between echad min hamenuyin and echad min hamausorin? The difference is that echad min hamausorin, you have an animal that's been designated as an actual sacrifice. Meiser behema was brought as a sacrifice by the owner. And so an animal that's an actual sacrifice has now jumped in to join the rest of the as yet untied animal. Any given animal, because you don't know which one is which, any given animal might be the actual sacrifice. Well, how do you deal with a case where you have a doubt concerning a sacrifice or sacrificial status? The way we deal with that is we say, wait until it develops a blemish, and after that, the owner can slaughter it and eat it as a common, or as a what's called psula mukdoshim, an unfit sacrificial meat. In the case of echad min hamenuyin, those are not sacrifices; those are simply animals that have become exempt. So, once you have an animal like that that's become exempt, it doesn't have sacrificial status, but it jumps back into the barn with all of the rest, and I don't know which one is which. They are all exempt, and that's because of the concept we discussed earlier, asiri vadai velo asiri safek. We now turn to the Gemara. We continue. Tana Rabbanan, the Eizit Sad Meiser, or as we saw, the Girsa in the Mishnah was Ketzed Maser. How is the Meiser to be done? Konsen Ladir, we bring them into a barn. The Oislan Pesach Kot, we make a small passageway. Kadesh Lu Yishnai Michol Lotzeis Keachot, so that two cannot emerge as one or together. Umamid Imoiseyem Ibachutz. Now here in the Brisa, this is a new point. We didn't see this in the Mishnah. On the other side of the passageway, namely on the outside of this doorway, we stand the mothers of these animals, v'heim mibifnim, and the new births, the young ones, are in the barn, v'goyos v'yotzes likras imon. And the word goos is the noise that animals make, if a sheep bleats and a cow moves or groans, they make their noise and they exit to greet their mothers. The Gemara asks, why do you do it this way? V'lifkinu inhu. Why don't the owners simply push the animals or take the animals outside? The Gemara answers, Ya'avor k'siv. The pasuk says, V'cho asher ya'avor tachas hashevet. V'lo shi ya'aviruhu. And not that you should cause them to go out. We want them to go out on their own. The Gemara asks, okay, but why do you have to position the mothers on the outside of this passageway so as to allure the young ones out? V'lishtilu yarka v'lifku v'lesu. Why not throw some vegetables outside that animals like to eat? Why specifically the mother? Amar Rav Huna, gzeiro mishum lokuach u'mishum yosoin. This will prevent the inclusion of purchased animals or animals whose mothers had died. Purchased lokuach and yosim are exempt from Maiser Bema. So from this practice of having the mothers standing outside, so I will know not to use purchased animals or yosom animals. Purchased, of course, I purchased the animal, the mother, I didn't purchase the mother with it. So there's no mother around, and yosom, there's no mother around. So by insisting on the mothers standing out, I will know not to include in the tithing process lokuach, purchased, and yosom, animals whose mothers have died. That we, as we said before, they are already exempted from Maaser Behema. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Asher Ya'avor. The pasuk says Kol Asher Ya'avor Tachas Hashem, all that pass under the counting rod. This expression Prat L'Treifal Sheinovers. This comes to exclude from Maaser Behema a treifal. A treifal is an animal that has an organ or limb deficiency. And they are the what they are, or the descriptions of treifas are listed. There's a formal list of animals. Included in that list is an animal whose hind leg has been cut off. An animal in such a state can't walk, so it's eino averis. It doesn't go through the passageway. And as a result of that, we learn all treifas are exempt from Maaser Behema. Tachas Hashevet, the same pasuk mentioned under the rod, mitzvah lenosim hashevet. It's the desirable way to count them using a staff or a rod. Lo monon b'shevet o shemonon revutzen o omdin minayin. Let us say he didn't use a rod, or he counted them while they were lying or standing, as opposed to walking through the passageway. For minayin, how do I know that it nevertheless does take hold? In other words, it is declared a maaser behema in that fashion as well. Talmud lomar ho asiri kodesh. That's the pasuk. And from that we learn mikol mokom, meaning under all circumstances, even if it wasn't through the animal walking through the narrow passageway. The ainli elosh shikora shmoi asiri. And from this I would think only that which I declared to be 10. Lo kora shmo asiri minayin. Even without your declaring an animal as the number 10, how do I know that it becomes Meiser? By the fact that I have counted 9 and it's the 10th one to emerge through the passageway, that itself establishes it as a number, as a Meiser Behema. Talmud Lomar Yeh Kodesh Mikol Makom. From that expression, it shall be Kodesh, meaning under all circumstances. However, there are limitations. Yochel Oyu Lo Mea V'Notel Asorah. Could it be that if he had 100 animals and he just took 10 of those, Asar v'natal echad, where he had a group of 10 animals, just took from the group of those 10 animals one animal, without doing any counting, yachol yumu sarin, could it be that that would be a maaser behema? Talmud lomar asiri, the ein ze asiri. The Torah says the 10th, and if you just take one animal from a group of 10, that's not called the 10th. The 10th is something that would result as we result from a counting. Rabbi Yossi Buda Omer Meiser. Rabbi Yossi Buda says, in fact, taking a random taking of one from 10, or gathering 10 from 100, is effective in declaring Meiser Behema. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. You'll notice the expression no say. We've written Shitas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Hafroshes Maaser Behema Ba'oimed Uvamachshava. Shitas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will say that the tithing of Maaser Behema can be done through estimation or through thought, which these are expressions which we associate often with the tithing of agricultural produce of plants of fruits and vegetables. return to the Gemara. My time of the Rabbi Yosef Ruda. What is the basis of Rabbi Yosef Ruda's ruling that Meiser Behema can be achieved even without a formal counting? Answer. So, now, we should also point out that we're about to start an answer that we have labeled as a long answer. You notice the long answer marking the tuff that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of one more text with a descending vertical dashed line, which takes us down quite a few lines on the top of Daf Nun Tes. So the Gemara continues. Sovar lo ke abo Elozer ben Gomel. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda subscribes to the approach Rabbi Elozer ben Gomel takes in the general realm of tithing. But as we said, we're in the middle of we're starting a long answer, so we have to put together several different pieces of information. Rabbi Elozer ben Gomel doesn't address the issue of Meiser Behema directly. He talks about the tithing of grains. But you'll see as the Gemara unfolds, using his information, combining with additional information, will come to understanding where Rabbi Yosef Bermuda is coming from. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, Abelozer ben Gomel Omer, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. The word trumaschem appears in the plural. B'shtei trumos hakosev medaber. The pasuk is referring to two kinds of truma tithe. Achas truma gedola, the achas trumas meiser. One is called truma gedola. This is the truma that an owner of grains, an owner of a field, is expected to tithe and give to a kohen. The achas trumas meiser, generally speaking, is the truma that a levi gives from the meiser rishon that he received. After a levi receives his meiser rishon tithe, which is 10% of the owner's crops, the levi then gives 10% of that to a kohen. Furthermore, kishem shatruma gedolin tells b'avim alshava, just like the truma tithe is separated through estimation and machshava. Machshava would be a case where a person, let's say, looks at a pile of grains and says that I want the northern, even by looking and planning for the northern part of the pile to be declared as truma, it is binding. Rashi says at the Rashi Ksavyad, you see second line from the bottom, Machshava she'eno mafrisha miyad elanoising eno litol truma b'tzad zeh. In other words, he glances at one side of the grains, at one side of the pile of grains, and eats from the other. The whole hach milsa nafka mi v'nechshav, the word, the pasuk says, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. And we continue in the Gemara itself, in the middle of this Tanaic source. We said at the bottom line of the Gemara, k'shem shah truma gedolin tels b'yom hachshav, just like truma gedola is taken through estimate as opposed to actual measuring and counting, but through estimation. So too, af trumas meiser, at the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, so too trumas meiser niteles be'oimer uvamachshava. So too, when the Levi separates his truma tithe for the Kohen, it can be done it's done through Omed, through estimation, and not exact measure, and Machshava, as we described. Umeiser karya rachmona truma. The Meiser tithe is referred to by the term truma. Dechtiv ki es ma'asar b'nei Yisrael asher yorimu l'ashem truma nosati l'alevim l'nachla. So in this pasuk you can see the expression Meiser and the expression truma used interchangeably. So that's another important point. So we're making a link right now between Truma and Meiser, saying that they're interchangeable ideas, and we already established that Truma is taken through Oymed and Machshava. V'iskash Meiser Behema L'Meiser Dogon. And we know that there's a comparison made between the animal tithing, which is our topic, and the tithing of grains. Ma Meiser Dogon Nita B'Omid V'Machshava. Just like the Meiser tithe of grains can be done through Truma Machshava. And we establish that by saying that Meiser is called Truma. And truma we know is taken through omed umachshava. Meiser grains therefore also omed umachshava. And meiser grains are compared to meiser behemah af meiser behemah. The Gemara goes on, nital ba omed umachshava. If that be the case, then I can approach a group of animals and take what appears to be around 10%, and that is enough to declare them as meiser behemah. Just like if you were to do that with grains, they would become the respective truma or meiser tithe. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.